Good morning and praise the Lord. It is good to be back with you all again after 3 weeks of long travels and very focused ministries in Delhi, in Northeast India, Assam, and also briefly in the state of Kerala. You know, I'm reminded of a story which we repeatedly remind ourselves in the leadership seminars. And you might have heard this story before or different versions of this story. The simple version is this, and the title of the story is The Tortoise, that little creature in the water, the tortoise on a fence pole, on a fence post. A tortoise sitting on a fence post. My brother John Kurian really likes this story and he always repeats it in the seminar. A group of little children were walking home from the school after the school hours. And they were surprised to see this tortoise sitting on a fence post. So they were debating and wondering how this little creature could get on to the top of this fence pole or post, and it is balancing, you know, itself there. So it came out of the water, crossed the road, and the children were so interested to figure out how it got on top of the fence post. Everybody came with different explanations, but then a little boy said, "I think you all are wrong, and I have the right answer. Somebody placed him there. Otherwise, there is no way this tortoise could climb on top of the fence post." When I think of the last 3 weeks and for the last 41 years of my ministry, I would say I was on the fence post, on top of it several times, even during this trip. How did I do that? How did you do what you are doing for the Lord? The Lord, in His sovereign will, plan and purpose, gave us the provision, the protection, His preserving grace, and the ability, and the spiritual gifts, and all the support we need, and He placed us on top there. We would have never climbed up there. I would have never done it. You know, in Northeast India, in Assam, it's a very difficult state ruled by BJP now. Lot of opposition and problems. There are 7 northeastern states, some of them bordering China. For the last 20 years, the Ministry of the Assemblies have been flourishing there. And it is my second trip to that region. And so surprised to see so many committed young men living in the remote parts of various northeastern towns and villages with their little children. I visited some of them. I was scared to death. I was wondering, Lord, how will they live here? How will they stay here with their little children, serving the Lord among a very hostile surroundings? 80 of them came to study on biblical leadership. Most of them from tribal backgrounds in the Northeast, and many of them are new workers, elders, and evangelists. And it was a tremendous opportunity to be with them for a week to equip and to train them in biblical leadership. Another 100 attended in Trichur in South India. It was the 5th leadership seminar, and almost 500 leaders and youth leaders and assembly leaders and elders have been exposed to what the Bible teaches about leadership. Now, I want to emphasize that again, this has been a neglected area among the assemblies. You know, teaching and training and equipping for leaders and elders so that they would clearly know what the Bible teaches. And I am a firm believer that that training is indispensable. And the Lord has blessed that vision, and the Lord is tremendously blessing that ministry in different parts of India every year, and also whenever I have gone to Europe and Africa also, we have done this. So more than 750 people have attended those seminars in different parts of the world. The curriculum is the Bible. My brother John and Uncle Silas Nair, Brother P.C. Abraham, they also join me whenever possible to do these seminars of intense teaching and Bible exposition to encourage God's people. And I want to thank you for your prayers and your support and standing with me, not only in this ministry, but in other ministries. In Assam, we had some gospel meetings also and some general teaching, and also in some parts of Delhi. So it was all richly blessed, and the Lord preserved us and protected us, and what a joy for us to be back. Now let us turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We are living in difficult days. Every news we hear from Dallas or all around the world, it is very, very disheartening. Our blood is freezing, I would say, because these are unbelievable news and very tragic news from all around the world. And the Lord brought my attention to 2 Timothy chapter 3 during these days. The last days and perilous times. The last days and perilous times. Christian living in the last days. You know, the signs of the end of the time is clearly described in the Word of God. How can we be ready, and how can we make others also ready? Do you really know what time it is, spiritually speaking? The Lord is at the door, and the Lord's coming is very, very near. Knowing the times and getting ready and executing our responsibilities should be of utmost concern. It should be of great priority to us. When Paul wrote 2 Timothy, we know that this is the last letter penned by Apostle Paul. A lot of emotions and a lot of sentiments are seen in this letter. He has been encouraging his beloved disciple, associate Timothy, for all these years. And now the time has come for him to part with him. His death is very imminent. And he wrote this last letter to Timothy. There are four chapters. And if you read these four chapters in one sitting, you will get the feel of the letter, the intensity of the letter, the intensity of the charges and the emotions. For example, in chapter 1, it is a charge to Timothy to be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Chapter 2, a charge to be strong in the service of Christ. Chapter 3, perilous times and last days are here, and you should withstand the apostasy of the last days. And chapter 4, the charge to preach the word. So we are in chapter 3. I will just begin it, and God willing, in the coming weeks or days, whenever there is an opportunity, we will go through this entire chapter. Such an eye-opener, such a moving chapter. Very contemporary, very relevant for the times in which we are living. You know, another thought that came to my mind, I opened as I studied this chapter, is knowing the times and getting ready is very important to me, and it is also important that I help others to prepare, that our support of one another and our encouraging one another, our praying for one another, visiting one another. God has placed all resources in place, and in these perilous times, we need to fortify ourselves. When we have a problem, either in our marriage or in our family or with our children, we need to seek help. We need to encourage one another. We need to protect one another. We need to support one another. We know that the Indian culture, you know, wants to hide everything. That is very unfortunate. We never seek help. And that is true of many of our assemblies too. Because many of us coming from India, this miserable thinking has gone into our system. That everything has to be hushed up. It is a shame to share your problems. You should not seek help. So even in assemblies, when we are open and willing to help, there is no opportunity for it because everybody is so busy with their own life and their own things and they don't want others to know anything about it. Everybody is busy. People complain about visiting homes. But if you try to visit someone, they are so busy that from their response you get the impression that you are not welcomed. You know, because husband is working, wife is working. Some places wife is working more than the husband and children are 24/7 in the daycare. We are after a marathon race, not knowing where we are heading. And perilous times and difficult days. And Satan is taking advantage of every such situation in my life and in your life too. So we need to be more caring. I need to be more caring for you. You know, I ask the Lord forgiveness for neglecting that ministry if I have neglected. More supportive. When people tell you something for prayer, you know, follow up on it. Don't neglect it. Don't ignore it. It may be coming from the pain of their heart. They may be going through a lot of struggles. And follow up on it. You may not agree with everything a person may be doing, but sympathize with their struggles. Don't ignore. Let there be better shepherds and pastors. That is what Timothy's letter reminds us. So, look at verse 1, chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. I'm just reading the first five verses. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And now, when we read these 19 characteristics of the people, men, you know, for men, anthropos means mankind, people. It includes boys and girls, men and women. It is not particularly talking about male members of the society or community. It is talking about mankind in general. Mankind, everybody included. For men, people will be lovers of themselves. Now, when we read these traits, some of these traits also are in us. And that was really disturbing to me that, you know, some of these things, I'm sometimes unloving and sometimes, you know, I want more comfort. All those things are very true of me, some of them are probably true of you. So, what is the difference between this group of people and the traits we find in ourselves occasionally? Let me explain it like this, that In this group of people, in these evil men, this is a pattern of their life. They are sold to it. That is their lifestyle. That is the philosophy of their life. Unfortunately, some of these traits creep into our hearts and we feel bad about it. We feel sorry. We repent. And the Lord wants us to turn from those. But as far as these people are concerned, this is the pattern of their life. They are sold to it. Now, another thing that came to my mind, this chapter is very familiar to many of you. All these traits, we immediately think are characteristics of the pagans, of the godless, and of the atheists. But the text does not allow us to think like that. Because, look at verse 5. This is talking about people of the church, people in the church. People in Christendom, people who call themselves Christians, people who go to church, people who are involved in the so-called religious Christian ministries. Because in verse 5, they have a form of godliness. They believe in their own godliness, their own making, you know, a false godliness. So they are religious. They are believers. This is not talking about pagans. That is what immediately people think. But the text does not allow you to do that. That will be a false exegesis. Because in chapter 2, verses 14 through 3, chapter 3, verse 9, Paul is talking about false teachers and false teaching and apostasy and how Timothy has to be careful. In the midst of that discussion, he mentioned about last days and perilous times and apostasy, falling away from faith, and all these evil things creeping into religion, creeping into the church. So this is not talking about pagans. That is why terrible things are happening even among believers, even among so-called believers, even in churches, even in India. You know, the head of a great so-called evangelical church completely apostatized, and he went into a Hindu guru goddess and said, salvation, probably I don't have salvation. You, ma'am, you have salvation. What a wonderful thing it is. I'm talking about the head of the Marthoma church. You know, that is a so-called evangelical church to some extent, but clearly apostatizing. And the story in the West is not at all different. Apostasy has crept in. So these traits are traits of people in the church. Look at all the entertaining culture, all the mega church movement, where the gospel is not preached, where philosophy and the cleverness of man, you know, that's all what they want to say from the pulpit. And these things are happening in the church. So they have a form of godliness, these people. They are not pagans. They have a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness. That means their doctrine, they have a ritualistic system or traditions, or they have a so-called doctrinal statement. Everything is in place. They are all theologians. They have degrees from accredited universities and seminaries. You know, they are all highly educated. So the doctrine is in place. Theology is in place. Rituals are in place. The activities are in place. The program is in place. But denying the power of, that means no personal ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Outward connection with religion, but no inward union with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we read here, and it can happen in any church, in any group. And that is one of the signs of the times, the last days and perilous times, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. The word power, dunamis, can be translated. It is translated in other places in the New Testament also as reality. So let me read it that way. They have a form, an outward form of piety, religion, godliness. I hope it's not talking about us. An outward form of godliness, but denying its reality. Its reality. Its power, its overcoming power, its sustaining power, its persevering power, its comforting power, its ongoing strength, energized and fueled by the Spirit of God. The reality is missing. It's all namesake. Salvation is for namesake. Baptism is for namesake. No, worship is for namesake. Meetings are for namesake. Denying its power. And what did Paul say? I'm starting from verse 5. And from such people, turn away. That means you cannot be supportive of them. Don't listen to their TV program. Don't send them money. They may be saying few good things here and there. The word avoid is literally, do not have any link with them. A strong Greek verb. Turn away, avoid. You don't have anything to do with them. Don't be supportive of them. Don't be sympathetic to them. They may be saying some good things here and there, but don't listen to them. Avoid. I believe it is a clear call for separation from denominationalism, from false religion. Today, you know, even evangelical churches, nobody preaches separation. You know what is the philosophy? You can stay where you are in the church and try to make them good. And there are many of our friends, many of my friends do that. They are in an apostate religion, in a denomination. You know, and they say, Alex, I know that I'm saved and baptized. I know what our church is doing is wrong, but I want to stay there. That is your cleverness. The word of God tells, avoid them, turn away, do not have any link with them. That is how the Brethren movement and some other revival movements came out. They separated, they said goodbye because avoid. We don't have anything to do with it. It is a clear commandment. You know, in these five verses, there are only two imperatives, two commandments in these five verses. The first one is, you know, verse 1. The second one is, turn away, avoid. And the verb is a very strong verb. Avoid, turn away, do not have any link with them. So, do not attend their seminars. Do not watch them on TV. Do not send them money. You may be thinking that, oh, some of them say good things at times, but you should not be listening to those good things, because the word of God commands us that avoid. Paul commanded Timothy that you avoid them, you turn away, you be separated, come out of them. That is what the Lord expects us to do. You know, how many of our believers know about these things? How many of our young people know about these things? You know, because we lack knowledge and understanding about these things, Satan puts a trap in our way and we are easily trapped, and we see all the good things they see, do. And we think that it's so wonderful, so exciting, so great music, so great preaching, so great program, so great this and that. But in a subtle way, the reality is missing. The gospel is missing. See, the test is the gospel and the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is their understanding of Jesus Christ as the only Savior of mankind? What is their understanding of sola fide, by faith and by grace alone, by grace alone and by faith alone and in Christ alone? What is their understanding about the Holy Scriptures? What is their understanding about repentance and holiness? All these things are crucial in discerning what is right and what is wrong. So, you know, Timothy was a very mature young man. And he has been traveling with Paul, trained by Paul, equipped by Paul. But before Paul left Timothy, and the last letter, Paul was so compelled to remind Timothy these truths again. Timothy, I know you know these things, but this is very important for you to know. Uncle Paul wants you to know that these are the most important things for you to know. That is the only way you can be faithful, you can persevere, and you can reap the blessings of your ministry. Let no one deceive you. So, having a form of godliness. Again, you know, I was taken aback by that verse, because in reading the first few verses, you think it is talking about pagans. But in the larger context, it's talking about false teachers. You see, look at verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. So he was talking about the doctrine of the false teachers. You have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, love, perseverance, etc. Mine. So he is comparing himself, contrasting himself. Paul is contrasting himself with the false teachers whose life will be characterized by these vices. You know, these vices being in pagans, in atheists, is no surprise to us, because that is expected of them. What else you can expect of them? So this is not talking about them. It is like, you know, like look at my body, even though I am not that beautiful or handsome, you know. Probably I'm all right this morning. Look at my toes and fingers and my face and everything. Everything is fine, looking good. Reasonably good shirt and tie and everything, you know. Everything looks good. But that is the form, it looks good. But what if I don't have any life in this body? That will be very miserable. You know, everything beautiful. It will be like a body in a casket. Everything is made up. It looks good. It looks very real. It has all the costumes and everything and perfume and everything. But what is missing there? The only thing missing is life. That is the meaning of verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but there is absolutely no life. And what should be your response, Timothy? Avoid. Be separate from such people. Now, coming back to verse 1. But know this. Oh, okay. That's an imperative. It is a commandment. That it is something very important for Timothy. Realize, another translation, you know, or understand. And NIV translate it as mark it. No, understand it. Realize it. So, it is in the present tense. That means, keep on knowing this in advance. The perilous times are coming. We are in the last days. So, you have to keep on knowing. Be ever mindful of this fact. Understand the times in which we are living. It is crucial for all of us and especially for leaders. Let me draw your attention to one verse in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Again, this is a favorite verse used in the leadership studies. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. About understanding the times in which we live. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times. I'm reading from NKJV. Who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Now, the background is, this is a description of David's supporters in Hebron. David's army, David's close friends, the families that supported David. They want David to be the king. So, in their assessment, they are saying that sons of Issachar, very close to David and his family, they took the leadership for canvassing for David. Vote for David. Don't vote for anyone else. That's what they are saying if you read the whole chapter. It is a campaign for David. And they said, David is the man of the hour. How do you know? Verse 32. The sons of Issachar, their counsel as leaders in crisis times is very important. They had understanding of the times in which they were living. Saul will not be a good choice. Anyone else will not be a good choice. They had the discerning. They had the discernment. They had the insight. They had the intuition. They had the enlightenment. They had the knowledge. Understanding of the times. And they also had the authority. They commanded to know what Israel ought to do. They did not put forward a suggestion. It may be good if you do this. No. This is what you ought to do. Knowledge with God's authority. That is very essential for any leadership ministry. Even if you are a youth leader, take hold, you know, take note of this verse. Understanding of the times. What are the problems through which people are going through? What are the struggles? What are the needs we have? What are the spiritual needs we have? What are the problems we are facing? The challenges. Understanding of the times. And have the knowledge. And have the ability and the authority on the basis of God's word to tell them what you ought to do in such times. So that is the same spirit in which Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:1. But keep on knowing this. Discern the times. Young people, older people, parents, discern the times in which we are living. Keep on knowing this. In the last days, that is a common phrase in the New Testament. For example, in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Hebrews 1:2 gave us the impression that these are the last days, because in these last days God has spoken to us in his Son. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last hour. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20, he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days, last times. 2 Peter 3:3, scoffers will come in the last days. Jude 18, there would be mockers in the last time. 1 Timothy 4:1, in latter times or last times or later time, some will depart from faith. Why did I read these verses? Because to correctly interpret for what Paul meant by last times, these other verses also are important. Last days was inaugurated at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is an extended period of time culminating in the return of the Lord to establish his kingdom. So we are in the last days. But within the last days, there will be perilous times, kairoi. Perilous times within the last days. Isn't it wonderful? Oh man, Paul really knew what he was writing, you know. We are living in the last days. Perilous times will come. That means within the last days, including the church age, this dispensation, you know, there will be various time periods, seasons within the last days. Some will be more intense than others. So when I was born, it was the last days. But, you know, after all these years, I'm not ancient of days now, but still many years have gone. But what I'm seeing is there is more intensity of evil in these days. So within the last days, within the framework of the last days, the extended period of time, there will be periods of time, plural. Know this, that in the last days, perilous, difficult times will come. Seasons of various degrees of danger and difficulty for church and believers. Conditions will progressively worse. The vices increase in scope and in intensity as the final days draw near. So we are in the last stage of the last days, or at the very last minutes of the last days. So more intensity, more unbelievable evil, you know, blood-freezing, tragic, evil, horrible things happening around the world. Paul said, perilous times. The word perilous is a very interesting word, because the word perilous, translated here, you know, as difficult or terrible times, is used only one more time in the New Testament. That is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 28. The Gadarene demoniacs, two of them, who were living in the tombs, what did Matthew say of them? Matthew 8, 28. They were exceedingly fierce. That is the word. Exceedingly fierce. Menacing. Savage. In classical Greek, both of this word was used for dangerous wild animals and of the raging sea. So Paul has chosen a very appropriate word. Know this, keep on knowing, be discerning the times, Timothy, that in the last days, perilous time shall come. And you have to be ready. And in your ministry, you have to make others also ready. The world is not getting better and better. It is getting worse and worse. Science and technology, education and wealth is not making the world a safer or a better place. You know, we have seen the destruction of family, society, morality, and ethics. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, there is a beautiful phrase, fullness of the times, or fullness of the dispensations. So, the dispensations will run its course. All the dispensations which God has placed in human history will run its course. And as it run its course, it will become more severe and perilous and dangerous. It will go from bad to worse, and there will not be any improvement in the situation. Then at the end of those dispensations, the king will come and he will unveil the master plan for the history of the world. He will establish his kingdom. So the world is coming to that crisis point. So until the dispensations have run its course, everything will go from bad to worse. And God is in control. And he has given us resources. He has given us blessings. And he has asked us to be more vigilant, more careful. Now this is not to frighten us, but to make us accountable, to make us responsible, and helping us to be humble, pure, faithful, and to persevering in our ministries to one another, to the church in the area of evangelism. Let me close with a story which I have read. You know, many of you might have heard about the Danish philosopher and theologian Kierkegaard. He tells the story of a theater where a variety of show was proceeding. A lot of fun and a lot of different shows were on stage. Each show is more fantastic and better than the previous one. And there was thunderous applause when the show was going on. Everybody was enjoying all those shows. Suddenly the manager came on the stage and he apologized for the sudden interruption. And he begs the audience to leave the place immediately. People thought that this is also another show, you know. Another show staged by the manager. And people thought it is even more amusing. And they all stood and clapped their hands again. The manager again implores them to leave the burning building. He is again applauded when he said that. At last he can do no more. The fire raced through the whole building. And the fun-loving audience were all burned to death. And the theologian, philosopher Kierkegaard concludes, "Will our age go down? I sometimes think, in fiery destruction, to the applause of a crowded house, of a fun-loving, careless, cheering spectators." Last days and perilous times. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank thee for the clarity and the authority and the power of thy holy word, which is consoling, comforting, challenging. At times it gives us warning, helps us to be more persevering, accountable, and responsible. Help each one of us, young and old, elders, believers, all of us to be more discerning of the times, and to be involved in ministries personally and collectively, to fortify our faith, to strengthen our faith, to care for one another, and to be more passionate about our needs in loving and in forgiving, in praying for one another. Paul reminded Timothy, though Timothy was fairly mature and a good student of the word, there were so many positive things in his life, but he was again reminded by the great apostle before his death. Timothy continued to know this, that last days are here and perilous times have come, and how to live the Christian living within the last days. We thank thee for those wonderful inspired guidelines given to Timothy. We thank thee, Father, that it has come to us this morning as the word of God. Pray that we may receive it, we may meditate on it, and above all, we may apply it and persevere in our life and testimony in the days to come. Thank you for all your goodness and your faithfulness. Many of us were traveling, involved in various ministries. We thank thee that thou hast placed us at times on top of the fence post, so that our life and ministry may be a blessing to others. We could never climb there. If we have ever climbed there, it is because you have placed us there. We humbly fall before you, and we worship you and adore you. Pray for the Bible study and the time of fellowship to follow. We pray this in our Savior's holy and precious name. Amen.